Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Control Amplified. I'm Len Vermillion, and we have Jim Montague with us, as we have for the last several weeks. And we're going to talk with a little bit of a preview of what we're going to have coming up in our April coverage, both online and in the magazine. But really, it's a subject that is on top of a lot of minds, agentic AI. So, Jim, welcome back. And you're going to tell us all about what you found out researching agentic AI over the
Oh
last
my God.
few months.
Holy, holy smokes. Well, I start off, and I should give a bit of a preamble, but similar to many people, I've been tiptoeing around AI for a while, you know, both in trying to cover it and in trying to use it myself. Many editorial co-workers of ours say it's great for gathering and compiling information, you know, especially if you put in enough effort into well thought out prompts that ask it more precisely, you know, for what we're seeking. Of course, well thought out means more human input, time, and labor.
I mean, I've actually found that it makes me a better questioner because I got to
Does
figure
it?
out the right questions to ask people if I'm going to transcribe it. But
See, there's a lot of true believers out there like yourself, but
well, I mean, you know, it depends how you use it. There's uses, there's not uses. I mean, but
See, that's encouraging. You know, you guys, you have credibility, and our other colleagues have credit. So I know that I'm probably just old and resisting
No
something
crap.
that's useful, but so far it seems like AI is mainly like a cow that chews the existing cud into more cud, and we already have enough of it.
Well, there's
Plus, there, oh, go ahead.
there's definitely a lot of junk in there. You got to get through it, but you know that's the whole as you just said about figuring out how to train it and what to ask it and what to put in there. That's really the talent. So that's our industry, but I'm imagining when we talk about control, it's a lot more complex.
Well, there's similar themes. I'm just always suspicious that there's, you know, evidence that there's, you know, getting useful results from AI requires more human labor than it's worth investing in to produce all the miracles, you know, it's supposed to deliver. But so in researching the April feature on agentic AI, I noticed a few possibly helpful threads. You know, similar to other process control automation and other technologies, AI grows out of others that came before. You know, for example, computer cards came from the Jacquard loom templates, microprocessors and integrated circuits came from the transistors and vacuum tubes. Our own pneumatics and relays evolved into programmable logic controllers and distributed control systems. And of course, lately, all of these and many other types of hardware are quickly morphing into software. So consequently, there are many already familiar digitalization tools that can help users prepare for AI and its go-getter version, I guess, agentic AI. You know, it's terrific that AI can streamline data gathering, organization, and analysis. But, you know, the developers always say, why stop there? You know, maybe it can be assigned to perform a few more pre-selected chores while it's out there, including carrying out some pre-programmed responses to the conditions it encounters. You know, and that's what agentic AI is. It doesn't just go out and get stuff. It's your little minion or henchman that does things for you, and it's getting more capable with increasingly complex goals, plans, tools, and actions that users can develop. And you know, so in learning about that, I found that, you know, it shouldn't be a shock for process control engineers, and it might even be comforting, because their whole gig is historically predicated on using automation to do more with less and save time, money, and labor. It's just that now the software is automating itself and achieving allegedly increasing autonomy.
I think in some cases it's actually coding itself, but well, that's another story for another
Oh,
day.
that's a whole area. There's many areas that are peripheral to control and automation that we don't get to cover: printed circuit boards or embedded things a lot of times, and then we don't get to cover coding and programming, although haha, we probably should. So
Right.
all right, well, there's a few examples here.
Okay.
I'll try to summarize them, but still give you some useful information. The first case study we ran across was our friends at HiByte approach digitalization and virtualization and AI by focusing on the well-known IT and OT convergence, how data is used in processes and plants, and contextualizing it so outside users and AI can take advantage of it. I interviewed Aaron Semla, a CTO at HiByte, and he was saying that if a facility has AGVs running all around, its users need an app to detect when they're stuck or stalled, so they can free or fix them more quickly. And this means identifying relevant data, shipping it back to the plant, and moving it up and down to users as needed. He said that developers and users are realizing that AI can accelerate these efforts and consume and integrate data from outside the usual OT sphere. And he said over the next 5 years, the place where AI can really add value is addressing workforce issues, and that it will let operations personnel ask questions and about unusual machine conditions and get answers and confirmations based on previously archived information and even other tribal knowledge. So it makes, he said, it makes AI is perfect for if you see this, then do this situations.
So let's
And
what can we clarify the idea
sure.
of workforce issues just so people don't have their imaginations running the
Well,
wrong
there's a lot. He said, it's labor saving, it's not
way
labor
there.
replacement. Everybody says that. At the same time, there's a lot of things where, the buggy whip manufacturing tasks do go away, and then you got to find something else to do. But that's been true with all the previous technologies. There's always something that changes or some kind of upheaval that people have to be, nimble enough to try and deal with. So the example he gave that HiByte, the project HiByte was working on was with Vivix Vidros Planos, which produces about 900 tons of float glass every day at its facility in Goiânia, Pernambuco, Brazil. And they have a unique position as the only Brazilian glass manufacturer with its own solar plant. So it seems like they're ahead on a lot of stuff. They even have their own raw material processing plant. And so in conjunction with its mine-to-line policy for ensuring consistent high-quality production, Vivix established an industrial transformation department to cut costs, increase its industrial team's productivity, and improve resilience to global changes by becoming more data-driven. And so as part of that, it wanted to scale its project, and this committee focused on building a solid foundation for its data architecture. And so it enlisted Amazon Web Services and HiByte in 2022 to build a data foundation using an industrial data fabric design. This approach included deploying HiByte's Intelligence Hub software in the corporate data center to curate, orchestrate, and model data from OPC network servers, SQL servers, and other industrial sources at the edge before publishing payloads into the AWS ecosystem, and then build a scalable industrial data fabric using in HiByte's Intelligence Hub as the data ops layer, and Amazon S3 as the centralized cloud data store, and then also host Intelligence Hub in AWS's cloud to streamline integrations and transformations between various cloud-based services, including, excuse me, Amazon Bedrock, Snowflake, and business intelligence applications like Mendix, and then finally, use Amazon Bedrock and Mendix to build generative AI agents for maintenance teams.
Okay.
And then, so Vivix reported the primary benefits of all this, of implementing its data foundation with help from HiByte and AWS included less unscheduled downtime, increased asset lifespans and reduced maintenance cost, reduced operating expenses, improved collaboration between people, departments, and systems, faster time to experience for new data products and apps, reduced development and maintenance cost, and also the ability to address larger organizational goals without sacrificing material quality or production efficiency. In the future, Vivix plans to accelerate adoption of machine learning and Gen AI to rapidly develop AI products with Mendix and Snowflake, and it also expects to employ a loop of autonomous agents that allow its model to decide in real time which data sources to consult, which tools to use to process information, and how to perform the tasks in an orchestrated manner. And then finally, the company also wants to build something called Vivix Virtual Engineer to reduce customer response times from days or weeks to minutes, and when quality incidents are reported, and even cut by 90% the time spent searching for and interpreting information. So that's a good one. And so there's a bunch of other information. We also had an example from Hive MQ, and this was illustrating virtualization and AI's potential flexibility. I talked with Kudzai Mandutareza, who is senior industry solution advocate at Hive MQ, and he reported that it can be helpful to think about reconfiguring a filling or packaging machine from processing 1 liter bottles to 1.5 liter bottles. And he said that shifts like that typically require many changes in materials and settings. Previously, users had to accept living with hard-coded devices that didn't allow more than minimal changes. But now, system virtualization and AI allow much greater flexibility and easier and quicker reconfigurations, and let users adopt tiered approaches with containerized software at the edge computing layer. And let's see. And they were working with, he mentioned a project, or there was an example they had about Eli Lilly and Company identified, connectivity gaps in its lab and manufacturing facilities also in 2022. And there was many standalone benchtop instruments such as pH meters and balances, and they weren't integrated with computer systems, which could lead to potential regulatory compliance challenges. And to close the gap, the company also started a cross-functional effort. I think it was led by its IT, engineering, and quality departments to achieve cloud-enabled equipment connectivity. And so the teams developed something, Lilly's Equipment Connectivity Platform, to provide standardized, scalable interface layer for connecting laboratory and manufacturing equipment to centralized systems, such as MES and also laboratory execution systems, while also transmitting data to the cloud. And so to do this, Lilly took advantage of Hive MQ's standardized scalable interface to MESs and LESs, which includes faster integration with MESs and LESs, enhanced equipment interoperability across multiple systems, technical controls that prevent or detect unauthorized testing and unreported data, automated content capture and flows, reducing manual data handling, scalable, flexible cloud-based technology for seamless operations, and finally, standardization across multiple sites, reducing paper processes and further streamlining workflows. So all of that is very good. I believe they were Hive MQ stressed that it was not performing AI itself, but it was kind of a conduit for a lot of these functions. And obviously, again, it's a lot of times it's not Performing some miracle that you never heard of before, but it's really just connecting the dots much more quickly and effectively, and allowing you to do things that you just didn't have the time to do before. So I guess Eli Lilly was so it had updated connectivity and new capabilities, relying on HiveMQ. And HiveMQ is serving as the core MQTT hub for secure real-time data exchange, and instruments in the labs and manufacturing areas publish data through MQTT topics using SparkPlug-B standard protocol for IIoT applications. And then the company's MESs and LESs subscribe to the data, which is seamlessly transmitted to a cloud computing of service using HiveMQ's bridge configuration and Kafka extensions. So a lot of these are very well-known networking tools, but now they're kind of having extensions to AI tools like Kafka and Claude and others that have been very famous in the mainstream media lately.
Right. Wow, that's a lot of great examples.
Man,
How are people actually, I mean, the people you talk to, are they enthusiastic about these
Well,
opportunities?
they are enthusiastic about it, obviously, because they're producing a lot of these things. But at least the people that we interview are very conscious of the plant floor and the fact that the process industries are very conservative and, often somewhat slow to change. The pharmaceutical people and the food and beverage people are often even more reluctant to change because they're profit margins are often larger than the oil and gas and chemical and petrochemical, who have very small margins and have to adopt whatever efficiencies they can to remain profitable, whereas the pharma and food haven't had to change as quickly because their margins are larger. And so that's been so, but again, so everybody is kind of following, as we've covered in the past, the mainstream model of people using all the AI tools willy-nilly, and who aren't subject to the mission critical and safety requirements that are often on the plant floor. So I've got one more if we have time.
Sure.
I don't want to tax
Bring
anybody's
it on.
patience. All right, but there was also Karthik Gopalakrishnan, a solutions architect at Yokogawa, also emphasized that AI is in a solution in and of itself. Instead, it's a feature that can assist other solutions, which should be good news for the plant floor. He mentioned, the well-known field of asset performance management, isn't new, but adding AI is taking off because it lets users, approach things like that they didn't have the time for before. And so he was taught the topic, the case that they were working was Aramco's Fadili gas plant in Saudi Arabia, recently implemented Yokogawa's autonomous control AI agents to increase efficiency. And the solution uses coordinated AI agents based on the factorial kernel dynamic policy programming initiative that I think Yokogawa developed with the Nara Institute of Science and Technology, which I believe is based in Japan. So the AI agents were introduced in three phases at the Fadili plant, and they progressively optimized various sections until autonomous control of the core process in the acid gas removal unit was achieved. To ensure safety, Yokogawa first simulated the plant to train the agents and then evaluated their reliability and validity. And subsequently, they were integrated with Yokogawa's existing Centum VP, integrated production control system, to use the safety functions of the existing plant. Yokogawa and Aramco added their project is undergoing a detailed evaluation, but initial results from Fadili found that 10 to 15% less amine and steam use, about 5% less power use, and improved stability and decreased manual intervention by operators despite ambient condition changes. So that was another positive use of AI related tools, along with virtualization and digitalization solutions that are already well known. So it's not like we said before, it's not like a whole new thing. It's just, like they say, a force multiplier or an aid to a lot of the existing digitalization tools. So that may make it more amenable and less scary and more approachable by a lot of potential users.
Well, that sounds great, and obviously we've given our listeners a lot here today. There's more. And
Oh,
if
there
you
is more. I
you
chopped out lots,
can and
so
you
read the
can do
story in print.
yeah
Don't
the,
just
it will
listen to
be
me
in our
talk.
April issue, which will be out in April, and you can see it online, controlglobal.com. So that'll be one of the main focuses of our April and coverage. The other, which a little bit of a preview here, is next week we'll be announcing the newest inductees to the Process Automation Hall of Fame. So we're going to go from looking at the future with AI to looking how we got here to begin with. A lot of talk about maybe what would now seem like older technologies, but things that actually shaped the entire controls system architecture in some ways. So, and I'm not going to reveal the names because we want to have the big reveal next week. So check back on controlglobal.com and I'll have my announcement with all the names. And then we were going to have our next podcast coming up on April 8th. We'll feature the first of those inductees, followed by several more. So.
Awesome. Well, and people should not be, concerned that, oh, there was older technology or things that happened in the past, because all of those attributes and good practices of previous generations of process control and automation, those traditional values and abilities are what allow people
Right.
to make advances, into the future. That I'm always stunned in every field about how, the traditional abilities and thought processes and critical thinking, how useful those are in adapting, whatever is new that comes down the pike, not just in this field, but a lot of other ones.
And probably this will give it away a little if you really want to do research, but one of the technologies talked about a lot is a model predictive control, which is still very much part of the game and
Yeah.
very much the basis of the game for a lot of people. So we got it'll be interesting. So April's a big month for us. We've got that. We've got this look at Agentic AI and actually plenty more. We have some SCADA stuff in there. We've got a whole lot. So check
Yeah.
back.
And the pendulum swings back, I think, too, because I've been now cut off in the cloud covering AI for a while. So when we actually have the topic of IIoT again in May and June, I'm like, well, what underpins all these terrific cloud and intangible technologies? It's the not just the traditional values, but the underlying network. So we should probably get back to looking at the underpinnings, as control and automation often does. There's a very essential underpinnings that should not be ignored. So we'll get back to covering that too.
Okay, well, for Jim and I and the rest of the people on Control March was truly madness, and we did a lot of stuff and had a lot going on. So our own personal March Madness is
Oh my
winding down.
goodness.
So now you can read all about it in April. So we hope you'll check it out. Until then, I guess. Anything else? Parting shots, Jim, here?
No, it's just you and me signing off at this
Yes, and
point.
we will. So we'll talk to you. Well, the next one, it'll just be me and someone else, but that'll be one of the Hall of Fame members. So
Yeah.
talk to you then. Tune in. And as always, we'll see you later.